Okay, if you are ages 3 to 6, if you'll head off to Children's Church at this time, and for the rest of us, we are still in Exodus. Now, there's at least 10 reasons why Exodus chapter 20 is really important. Of course, there's Moses, and there's the Israelites, and then there's Mount Sinai. And so those are at least those part of those 10 reasons. You remember what happens at Mount Sinai, right? They're given the commands by God, the 10 commandments that we are to follow. You're to have no other gods before me. Don't make any idols. You guys know the rest of these, right? You've seen them written elsewhere. After we have these first four that talk about this relationship between man and God, then the other six are really going to talk about honoring your father and mother. It's with other people. You know, don't lie, don't steal, don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't covet. And that's it, right? I mean, we're done. Exodus chapter 20, God lays down these commandments for his people, and then they go into the promised land, right? I mean, it's it. It's done. I mean, you have 10 good, solid commandments that really cover everything that you would think, right? You would think, but it's not it. I mean, I don't know if you've thought about this. I don't know how many of you made it past Exodus chapter 20 in your yearly reading. I mean, that's when we start to stall out. Genesis is great. The first half of Exodus is awesome. And then you start getting into Exodus 21 and following. And we tend to bog down a little bit. And one of the reasons why we do this is because then we just get literally inundated with rule after rule after rule after rule. In fact, the next 57 chapters is going to be almost entirely filled with rules and laws and specification. There's going to be a little interstitial in between we're going to look at in class. But for the most part, the rest of Exodus from 21 to 40 is going to be laws and rules. And then we have Leviticus. All 27 chapters is going to be rules after rules. And then Numbers, the first 10 chapters, is going to be more rules and laws. They cover everything. They cover premeditated murder and accidental death. They talk about kidnapping, cursing parents, and abusing slaves. Over the next 57 chapters, God is going to warn them about hitting pregnant women, bulls that gore people and other bulls, knocking out teeth, and not covering holes dug in the ground. Did you ever think that would be something that you would read and talk about on a Sunday morning? The importance of covering the holes that you dig. If your bull hurts another bull, there is a law for that. If your neighbor steals an ox, there is a law for that. If your livestock grazes in someone else's pasture, there is a law for that. In these next 57 chapters, there are prescribed punishments for seducing women, mistreating foreigners, charging interest to the needy, and cursing rulers. For them, it should make for really good living. But for us, it just makes for really awful reading. Rule after rule after rule. And so the question really becomes, is this applicable? Do we need the second half of Exodus? Do we have to really read Leviticus? Does it matter? Can we just throw out the first part of Numbers? I mean, when did you really need a ruling on whether you can eat meat that has been torn by a wild beast? Has that ever come to mind? Or when were you curious about what to do with an enemy's donkey if it wandered off. If you need to know, you can find it in Leviticus. What does it matter that the Israelites had to let the land rest every 3 years, or that they celebrated festivals 3 times a year? I mean, is your life drastically changed that you read that the Ark of the Covenant is supposed to be 2.5 cubits long? What is a cubit anyway? This is really important to us. We focus on the Ten Commandments, but they are really only an outline of all these laws that are going to follow. So if you are at the lock-in on Thursday night, you cannot answer this because you know this. Because we actually talked a little bit about this in Lance's devotional. But for those of you who weren't there, can anyone guess how many laws there are in the Old Testament? You say, well, there's the ten. Well, but then there's a few more here and there. Over 600. 613 laws. I mean, can you imagine that? These silly laws, these crazy laws, these hyper-specific laws that just tell them how they're supposed to live life. But the truth is, they couldn't possibly cover every little thing. But what's the big deal? Why are there so many laws? Some of the laws were for the priests. Some are things of what they needed to do and what the tabernacle needed to look like. But I want to ask, why are these laws so important? And so I want to diverge for just a minute. And I want to share a few laws that aren't in the Old Testament, but they're laws that are found within our own 50 United States. So here's a few laws that you might find interesting, and hopefully you haven't broken too many of them. How about this? In Alaska, it is illegal to wake a sleeping bear to take his photo. Or her photo, I suppose. Okay, that's actually not a bad law. I mean, that's not only dumb to do, but it's extremely dangerous. But just to let you know, the fine that you receive from the park ranger for waking up the bear is not near as bad as the consequences that you have from the bear who will rip off your arms for waking him up in his 9-month sleep. So, but it's a good law. Okay, so I'm willing to follow that one. How about this? In California, a frog that dies in a frog jumping contest cannot be eaten. Can you imagine that conversation? Bubba, I'm really sorry about your frog. I thought he was going to win, but since he didn't, can I eat him? I mean, how does that conversation start? Where's it? How about this? In Florida, if an elephant is tied to a parking meter, the parking fee has to be paid just as it was if it were a vehicle there. I'm not making this stuff up. This is real. I would, in Florida, I mean, I would have thought, you know, an alligator. I get that, but an elephant parking. But it's a law. In Georgia, it is illegal to keep an ice cream cone in the back of your back pocket on Sundays. This is a law. And I'm like, that's the crazy. Who would do this anyway? And then even before I ran across this, Reagan Gore, our youth intern, had made a comment about this is a law. And the reason why it was is because thieves would go into the marketplace and they would shove ice cream in their back pocket. And that would get some livestock, some cattle to see it and start licking their pocket. And the person would then walk away with said animal in tow following them. And so they had to make up a law that said, don't put ice cream in your pocket. You can't do it. Not on Sundays. That just can't happen. In Maine, it's illegal to keep I wrote Xmas on there. That's why I can't read it. In Maine, it's illegal to keep Christmas decorations up after January 14th. Like, I am so guilty of that. Wait, what's the clapping for? Normal people like to celebrate the birth of Jesus year-round. In Michigan, it's illegal for a woman to cut her own hair without her husband's permission. Okay, I want to know, how did this get started? And who is going to tell a woman with a sharp object that she can't do whatever she wants with her hair? Like, I learned a long time ago, your hair looks great, sweetheart. It's beautiful. Whatever you want to do. Oh, you did have it colored. I noticed. In Oregon, it's illegal to go hunting in a cemetery. And that just ruined my plans of making a tombstone that doubled as a deer blind. And in West Virginia, whistling underwater is prohibited. I literally have no words for that. Okay, so back to Sinai. Why all these laws? And this actually has been something I've been wrestling with. Theologically, I'm struggling with the fact that why would God say, okay, we're going to have 57 chapters, over 600 laws. Why would God do this? And so I have several reasons why I think this might be the case. Really, the first is they are to help us to be more like God. Like it or not, you note this, humans have a proclivity to be selfish and dishonest and hurtful. And although God created man in His own image, He realized that they refused to look and act and treat other people the way God would treat them. And so as a result, they began hurting one another, harming one another, abusing, oppressing one another. They were dishonest. They were violent. And they were selfish. And God understood that. When He rallied around the people who would be called after Him, the people who are to show the rest of the world who God is, He says, you can't act the way you want to act. I'm calling you to live like me. That's why we have these silly laws and that we mentioned earlier. Because people just lean towards evil if they don't know God. The second reason why I think these laws are important is because following the laws of God benefits both the individual and the community. Just think for a second. What would life be like in our country if we just eliminated the need for one of the Ten Commandments? What if we just threw out no more stealing? What if just all of a sudden people stopped stealing? What would happen to our families? To our children. If we started honoring our parents, or if we kept the marriage bed sacred and we stopped committing adultery. I mean, people who know nothing or care nothing about God will tell you, for a child to grow up in a house with two parents who love each other and who love their children drastically changes the future. Now, that's not saying that if you're a single parent or you're a product of a single parent like me, that doesn't mean that there's no hope for you. It just means that God created the family to be a unit of a father and a mother to help raise those children. And what would our society be like? if we had kids who grew up knowing who their dad was. And the third reason why I think these laws are important is because God hurts when his children don't treat one another with kindness and respect and with love. And I can speak as a parent, and many of you can too. There's few things that burden your heart that hurt you more than to see when your children treat one another poorly. I can remember getting that talk as a child, and I know, well, hopefully my kids will remember because they hear it all the time, of how important it is to protect and love one another. Years and years ago, before kids, when I knew a lot more than I know now, I was really smart. I thought I had parenting figured out. I didn't. But at least now I'm starting to learn that I don't. But I had decided before we had kids, I told Jennifer, I want to have two kids. We're going to have a boy and a girl, and we are going to have them in that order. Because I want to have the boy who that as he gets older, he's going to take care of his little sister. Like, that's going to be his job. That's going to be one of the things that he has to do. So you have to take care of your sister. And I remind Wyatt all the time as he is just putting the whoop on, no, you're supposed to protect her, right? That's your job. That's what we do. Lily, be nice to your brother and acknowledge that you have a little sister in the house. Let her in your room every once in a while. Make eye contact with her. Say something to her. Like, I want you to acknowledge and love and look after one another. And I think God looks down on his children, and he created every one of you just the way that you are. He created every one of you so vastly unique. Who could have thought that a God could create billions of people, all who are about the same shape? I mean, we all have like these four appendages that come out. They're the arms and they're the legs. You know, I mean, we like all are just nearly the same. I mean, you think about a dog, like, there's like so many different species of dogs, right? I mean, you can have little ones and big ones, and they all look crazy and different, and the big heads and the short legs and the tails and no tails. But you look at humans, and we're like so very similar in shape. And yet God made us so very different. How creative did he have to be? Not in just the fact that he said some of you are going to have red hair and some of you are going to have blonde hair and some of you are going to have gray hair and some of you are going to have no hair. Like God, Lynn woke up then. Yeah. And some of you are going to have light-colored skin and some are going to have dark-colored skin and some of you're going to go out in the sun and your skin is going to turn like an olive and you're going to have some people are going to go out into the sun and it's going to turn bright pink like me. And he says, I'm going to create you. Some of you are going to be very serious and you're going to be very focused and some of you will be very creative and some of you are going to like to laugh and some of you are going to like to run and some of you are going to like to draw. And he found a way to create billions of people. And if you could all line them up, even if some of them look similar, every one of them would be so different. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome that we don't look like a bunch of robots and we don't all act the same? That is beautiful. And God did that on purpose. But for some reason, when God outputted some people differently, some of us decided, well, I'm superior to that person because of the pigment of my skin. Because they think a little different than me. Because they're more creative in different ways. God looks on every one of his children, all of them, regardless of language or color or origin. or how they think. And he says, I love that daughter. She's mine. I made her. And when he sees another one of his children that he looked at and he made, and he says, I created this one. And one of them looks at the other and says, I'm better than you because I'm different than you. And God says, I made you different. I chose for her to be that way. I chose for him to be that way. Stop deciding that you're better because of a decision that I made for you. I think one of the reasons why we have these laws is because God hurts when his children don't treat one another with kindness, respect, and love. You see, God cares for the poor, the widow, the oppressed, the young, and the foreigner. Do not accept a bribe, for a bribe blinds those who speak and twist the words of the innocent. Do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. When you give testimony in a lawsuit, do not pervert justice by siding with the crowd. Do not oppress a foreigner. You yourselves know how it feels to be foreigners because you were foreigners in Egypt. God is telling them over and over again, be kind and show love. God is creating these laws to protect against abuse and oppression and mistreatment. Law after law. Law after law after law. He could have summed it up so much easier, which he will do, in fact. 1,300 years later, his son would sum up all of these laws and all the ones added onto that with just two commands. Love God and love others. So why would he wait? Why would he allow over 1,000 years of people having to follow these little laws over and over? Why can't you just skip them? I mean, wouldn't we all love to just rip Leviticus out of our Old Testament and say we don't need it anymore? God didn't simply say at Mount Sinai, just love each other, because they didn't know what love was. And the reason why is they hadn't seen it. But we have. John is going to tell us very succinctly what love is. In 1 John chapter 4, he says, this is love. Not that we loved, but that Jesus loved us. And God sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. This is love. Now, I give thanks to God that we don't live under the Levitical law. We don't have to be concerned about covering holes and wandering donkeys and all the other laws that we have prescribed within those 57 chapters. But that doesn't make it any easier. Because God calls us to live just like Jesus. He says, love me and love other people. If you love other people, you're going to honor your parents. If you love other people, you're not going to steal from them. If you love other people, you don't have to be concerned about murder or adultery, or coveting other things. Love God and love other people. There's more than one time that I wish that we could just go back to those laws. God, can you just tell me what? I would just love a manuscript to go by. Wouldn't you? Have you ever prayed that? God, just tell me, just what do I need to do? Just lay it out on the table. I want to step by step. Tell me what I need to to do. 6 a.m., wake up, what do I need to do? Maybe 7 a.m. Tell me what to do. But God says this, I want you to love me, and I want you to love other people. And I want you to love other people because that's what I do. And so it's not going to be easy this week, but I want you to think about that. I'm going to ask that you repeat that. I'm going to ask that you pray God to help you to be faithful in doing those two commands this week. When you're not sure what to do, just think, I need to love God, I need to love other people. And what would that look like? And if you're not really sure, just spend time in prayer and say, God, help me to understand, how would you treat people in this situation? May we be people who love God and love one another this week. Please join me this morning as we stand and sing.